Welcome to the Three Coaches Podcast. I am Coach Nallen. I'm here with my compadres, Coach Bryce Smith and Coach Ricky Guerra. Coach Martin Alvarez is off on assignment for this week, so he will not be with us.
You can tell that the main guy that usually runs the show isn't here whenever the guy that does open up the show says the name of the podcast in the incorrect way. This is the Coach's Office Sports.
I gave our Twitter feed. Three Coaches
Podcast. Boo this man.
Boo. Follow us on Twitter at Three Coaches Podcast.
All right. Well, let's give a quick recap of last weekend in college football. We're going to start with Oklahoma State losing, falling to Iowa State, which Coach Guerra, you had them at +7, so they did cover.
They covered,
but
baby.
Iowa State comes back and takes a win in Ames, Iowa. So that pretty much eliminates Oklahoma State from contention in the college football playoff, in my opinion. They fall down to number 11. And really, the only hope for the Big 12 to get a college football team in is Oklahoma.
Yeah, right now, you know, looking at the Big 12 standings, you're looking at Oklahoma sitting at the top at 8-0. But you have Baylor and Oklahoma State right behind them, both of them 6-1, both 3-1 in the conference. So, like, you know, Oklahoma still has to play Oklahoma State.
Yes.
And that's always going to be a tough game no matter who's good and who's not.
Bedlam.
So, you know, if Oklahoma State wins out, and I mean, they may have a chance, but I think you're right. I think the only chance for the Big 12 right now to get into the playoff is Oklahoma winning out.
You still have Baylor, too. Baylor has Texas this weekend, so that could also be their second loss. As a UT fan, I'm hopeful that that is their second loss, but I highly doubt it.
Yeah. I mean, and we're going to get into some college football playoff talk here in a little bit, but I agree with your assessment. It's Oklahoma or nothing at this point for the Big 12. UTSA. Sorry, Roadrunners. I picked against you, but guess what? So did every better professional better in America, and you came out and whooped La Tech's ass.
What was the score to that game?
There was 40-16, I think.
Yeah, there was no letdown, I'll tell you that.
They put it on them.
They did put it on them. You know, and they continue to be ranked, so they held up to their mark, held up that lofty ranking of, I think they're up to 24, 23, 24, and one.
They were 22 in the coaches poll, I believe, and 23 in the AP poll.
Right. So, but yeah, I thought there was going to be a letdown spot when you get ranked for the first time in school history, and you're going to have a big letdown. You're on the road, and they came back, and they held it.
Props to UTSA, man. You know, sometimes in a game like that, it's a lot to do with the kids mentally preparing themselves and the coaches getting the kids mentally prepared. You know, it's hard to come off of a game like that. And like you said last week, you know, first time being ranked, you know, going in and playing Louisiana Tech at Louisiana Tech.
Right.
It's hard to stay mentally prepared. You know, the kids are pretty geeked up about getting ranked for the first time. But, man, shout out to the coaches and the kids, man, staying focused and being able to get the job done on Saturday, because they did put it down on Louisiana Tech.
The thing that scares me there, not scares me, I mean, scares me if you're a UTSA fan, is Jeff Traeger, is that his name? Getting interviewed for that Texas Tech job.
Yes.
Apparently he's gotten multiple calls, not just from Texas Tech, but from other schools as well.
And if I'm Texas Tech, that would be one of my first phone calls I make, because he's done a terrific job at UTSA. And, you feel bad for a school like UTSA, but that's the nature of the beast. You know, you bring a great coach like that, he turns around and flips around the program, you're going to lose him to a bigger program. Now, the thing with UTSA, can they finish undefeated? I think they can. The last test will be against UTEP in the Conference USA championship game. I personally think that UTSA will go undefeated, but they will not get a Premier Bowl game.
You don't think that UTSA going undefeated will get into a New Year's Six game at all?
Absolutely not.
Where do you think they end up then?
I think they're going to get one of their conference tie-in games, and I think, and to double down with this, I think they're going to get screwed over and not play a Power 5 team again. I think they're going to play a team like BYU, which, don't get me wrong, BYU is a really good test, really good team, but you're not going to get another shot at a upper echelon Power 5 team. And that's the problem with the Group of 5. The Group of 5 spots can be taken by Cincinnati. And the rule is the top Group of 5 team gets either a playoff bid or a New Year's Six bowl.
Right.
So yeah. Cincinnati's going to get one get that spot. They're not. No offense, UTSA fans, but you're not going to travel as well as, say, Penn State. You're not going to travel as well as, say, Texas. Or I mean, Texas is not going to get a New Year's Six spot, but that's just kind of like where I'm going with that.
Right.
So.
Yeah, it would be hard for one of those bigger bowl games to want to bring UTSA in, right, knowing that the fans don't travel as well as one of those other bigger, more premier college football programs.
And as we know, money walks or talks and bullshit walks, and they're just going to be like,
prove them wrong, guys. Prove damn wrong.
You know, another point that I kind of want to make towards UTSA playing so well and being undefeated, even at this point in the year, look to the future. How much is this going to help their recruiting? Yeah, I think that this is going to help their recruiting so well. They're in a pretty good spot being able to recruit Texas. It's not far for, you know, really anywhere in Texas to make it down to San Antonio to come on a visit. I think this is going to help their recruiting tremendously.
Well, I think we touched base on this. What they're doing a great job of that Texas State's not doing a great job of is they're recruiting San Antonio. And San Antonio, as you know, again, we're biased because we're from the area, but we got great football down here. We got great football players in the Austin area and the San Antonio area. And not every one of them could go to UT, could go to Baylor, go to TCU. You know, there's that trickle down effect, and they're picking up on those kids, and you know, you could build off, you know, for every star that comes from Cibolo Steel that could go to TCU, you know, there's three or four guys who could play Division I ball, maybe not Power Five ball, and you know, rack up a bunch of those kids, you're gonna be in good shape. But yeah, so let's go UTSA. I'm a big fan of them, although I picked against them next week. I hope they run the table. I hope they get a Power 5 team and a bowl game to really prove their worth, but we'll see what happens. Now, let's talk about the flop of the week. And I'm talking to you, James Franklin. You had your team ready to play Illinois and lost to Illinois. Illinois is garbage, guys.
I mean, how many times have we said on this show Illinois is not good at football?
Multiple.
Them
and Indiana.
Yes.
Them and Indiana are not good at football.
So, yeah, Illinois... Pork Chop's run that program there. Pork Chop being Brett Bielema. If you guys didn't know that, he's a fat man. Kind of takes after my own heart, I guess. But you can't lose Illinois at home. You can't. And it was a big look ahead spot for them because they have Ohio State this weekend. Now the luster of that game's kind of off. And, you know, and probably, hopefully, for Penn State, eyes are off them this weekend because they are going to get the shit blown out of them at Ohio or against Ohio State this week. So,
for any of y'all that caught that game went into 9 overtimes,
which is
the longest,
longest
longest college football game in history, and the final score was 20-18.
We don't have time on this now. But we got to talk about this college overtime. I forgot that was a rule because I looked up. It's fourth overtime. I swore I looked down for maybe 45 seconds. We're in the sixth overtime. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah, you want to look back on it after a game like this. But remember a few years ago that Texas A&M LSU game that was 74-72. Those are the kind of big overtime games you want to see. You don't want to see a game that's 20-18 that goes to 9 overtimes.
So, but yeah, hey, congratulations, Shane Franklin. I know you have aspirations to go to USC, but if I'm USC, I would go running away scared. Do not take that man. All right, so let's go into our question of the week, and this kind of goes into also, we want to talk about Georgia a little bit and what they've been able to do, because Georgia, I mean, to me, is the best team in the nation. But the question of the week is, who is your top six for the college football playoff? And college football playoffs, the top 25 is going to be announced next Tuesday. So us as a group went through and we picked our top six if the playoff was going to be announced today. All right, this is not picking in the future or anything like this. So we're going to go ahead and give Coach Alvarez his thoughts. Coach Alvarez, what do you think?
Well, I think – no, forget it.
I can't talk in his voice, but he has a stupid ass.
Yeah, I do not like his.
I said top six, and you know,
he motherfucker put five.
He put five, and you can't put anyway. So he's got Georgia number one, and we're all unanimous on that.
Yeah,
Georgia's number one.
Then he has Ohio State, which Okay, whatever. All right, Alabama 3, again, whatever. And then he has Michigan, Michigan State. Okay, I get it. One of those teams are going to lose, and then but you can't double dip like that. So, but Michigan, Michigan State, and then 5, Cincinnati. Garbage. I mean, if he was here right now, you would just be getting shit on repeatedly for the next 5 minutes.
All right, so before we continue with this, I do want to say that I know you guys put these down as if they were going to come out today. I did not do that. Mine is more of a projection.
God damn it, Smith, learn how to fucking read.
Towards the end of the season. So the reason I did that, okay, the reason that I'm doing that is because I saw a lot of foreshadow run through my brain as this became the question. And to be fair with you guys, I'm the one who posed this question. So
yours makes even less sense now.
Okay, well, since we're gonna go ahead and say that, I'm gonna talk about my top six. So, like I said, I'm not doing this as if it comes out today. I'm looking towards the future. So, number one, I have Georgia, which is unanimous across the board, already been said. Georgia's the best team in the country. They're gonna win the SEC. They're probably gonna play Alabama in the SEC championship unless something crazy happens. And you know, we could talk about that a little bit later, but I have Michigan at number two, okay? I think that Michigan is going to win this weekend against Michigan State. I also think that Michigan is going to beat Ohio State. Fair. I think that this
first
is the
time
best,
in Harbaugh's
I think that
career.
This is the best Michigan team that Harbaugh's had since he's gotten there. So I have Michigan number two. Number three, I have Oklahoma. I see Oklahoma winning out. You know, they're barely winning these games, but there's a lot to be said for winning. So they're going to win out. They're going to be number three. Number four, I have somebody that no one else even has in their top six. I have Oregon. I think that Oregon is going to win out. I think Oregon is going to win out. They're going to win the Pac-12. And let me tell you why, Nolan. Because I look at their schedule here.
It's fucking, they're playing in the Pac-12, Smith. Of course, all the teams they're going to play are shit.
Hear me out. So they play at home against Colorado. Okay. They take a trip to Washington. Washington's
garbage.
Down this year. They're 3-4. Washington State comes to them.
Garbage.
Washington State's not terrible, but they're 4-4, but they're playing in Oregon. They go to Utah. Utah's not that bad. They're 4-3, but
that's
I think
the
they pick up the win there. And then you said that no one goes to Oregon State and wins, but this year Oregon State is going to Eugene.
Yeah, I screwed that up.
So Oregon will beat Oregon State at home. They're going to win out of the Pac-12. They're going to make it into the college football playoff. And then I have Cincinnati sitting right outside just because they're a non-Power 5. I would love to see Cincinnati get in there, but that would mean that one of the teams that I have already chosen to make it has to lose, which that would probably be Oklahoma, so I'm definitely rooting against that. And then at number six, I have a two-loss Alabama because Alabama will lose in the SEC championship against Georgia.
I just don't see Oregon jumping in. I don't see Oregon jumping in ahead of undefeated Cincinnati team. I don't see Oregon jumping in ahead of a one-loss Ohio State team. Now, I see where you're going with they're going to lose to Michigan, and you know, I would love to see that personally. Because
a conference championship is supposed to mean something.
Well, a conference championship, the champion of the Big Ten this year is going to get a playoff bid,
right?
And that's that's just how it's going to be. Let me say that. The East Division champion is going to get a playoff bid because the West is terrible. If the West beats the East in the Big Ten championship game, the Big Ten is not going to get anybody in. Nor should they, because the West is dog shit and you shouldn't lose to anybody there. But here are my top six. Georgia, Oklahoma, Michigan, Alabama, Cincinnati, Ohio State. That's my top six. That's what I think is going to come out on Tuesday. With the college football playoff, surprising numbers is I didn't on the surface I say Michigan hasn't played anybody, and according to Jeff Sagarin's, which is one of the computer numbers that the committee uses, they got the 42nd ranked strength schedule in the nation. Alabama, out of this group of five or six, Alabama's got 15, Oklahoma has 68. But an undefeated Oklahoma team is going to get into the playoff. That's just bottom line. And here's And the whole reason why I wanted to bring up this topic anyways, and I'm glad that Smith brought this to the table, our top six, is here's the scenario that Cincinnati is going to get pushed out at undefeated. Alabama beats Georgia in the SEC championship game. SEC gets two spots. Oklahoma goes undefeated. They're going to get the third spot. Ohio State wins the Big Ten championship. They will get the spot over Cincinnati. And that's going to piss me off because if that happens, the group of five teams should tell the NCAA to fuck off, get their own playoff.
At that point, you're essentially saying they're never going to get
in. You're never going to get in. And so that's how I see it's going to happen. Now, I hope, A, that Oklahoma loses a game and then they get left out.
Come on, man.
I hope that Alabama loses to Georgia and they get left out. I hope Michigan beats Ohio State and Ohio State gets left out, Michigan gets put in, and then that slides, you know, Cincinnati in. I wouldn't mind seeing Oregon in there as well. It would kind of break up some of the parity. It would offer up more parity in the system. So, but I don't want to leave Rick out of this conversation. Rick, what do you think about all this? What do you think is coming out on Tuesday?
I'm going to answer this question as it is stated, as if the college football were to come out as of today. College football is being played next weekend. Who do I have in? I have Georgia at number one, Ohio State at number two, and here's why. Ohio State, outside of the loss of Oregon, has beat the living shit out of everybody they have played.
Isn't Ohio State ranked number seven right now, though?
Yes. But if they sit down and they look at it, they say outside of that Oregon loss, they literally quietly, very quietly, no one's talking about them
anymore. No one is talking about Ohio State.
No one's talking about Ohio State, and they're beating the fucking shit out of everybody.
Nobody's talking about the Big Ten in general. Since Iowa lost.
Yeah, and then since fucking this shit show happened with Illinois and fucking Penn State, goddamn. Number three, I have Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati gets in if they go undefeated, and they... With the problem with Cincinnati is they're going to have to put up style points.
Right.
You can't just win by 20. You're going to have to win by fucking...
You can't beat Navy 27-20.
Yes.
And that's what happened last
week. That is what happened last week. Right. And I think that that could be their one time it happens. Everybody else, you have to beat the living shit out of everybody. But if it came out today, I think it's Cincinnati at three. And I think Alabama gets in there at four. The reason I... And then I have five as Oklahoma, six is Michigan. The reason I have Alabama in front of Oklahoma is mainly because of the name. It's Alabama.
Because they're in the SEC.
They're in the SEC. It's everybody freaks out. Everybody freaks out. Oh, dude, but it's still Alabama. You know, they lost on the road to A&M. A&M is playing better, whatever, all this bullshit. Okay. Oklahoma, I think, I mean, they should be in there. They run the table, they're in there.
Yeah.
They look like a brand new team with Caleb Williams back there. However,
first half against Kansas.
Yeah, I still think he's still in that process of that transition of it's his team.
He's a true freshman, man.
Yeah, he's a true freshman.
The ropes.
However, that fucking fourth down in one play he made where he took the ball.
That was pretty badass.
And fucking ran. That was the best fucking thing I've ever seen in my life.
Heads up.
Like, by a true freshman. The kid's 18 fucking years old, yeah, and he did that shit. That was awesome.
You're right.
Number six, I have Michigan, man, because it's Michigan. Everybody's still counting on them to fuck up somewhere. I think it's to Ohio State. I don't think they beat Ohio State, and I think John Harbaugh still keeps his fucking job.
Here's where I think that this it becomes more interesting. I think if you talk about it not as of today, right? Which I understand that, you know, that was a part of the question that y'all changed on the format after I had already answered the question. But
I answered the question that was given to me.
I understand that, but what I'm getting at is, if all of us have Georgia as a consensus number one, right, that means that Alabama's losing two games. If Alabama loses two games, is there any scenario that they still make it into the playoffs?
Absolutely
not.
As
a two-game
loser. And if they do,
we're going to fucking boycott this shit.
I don't know.
I'll probably watch it still.
But I love to gamble too much, so I wouldn't be able to not watch it. But I don't know what I would do. It would be a sham. The whole system would be a sham. Now, they're not going to get it with two losses because they've left Alabama out with one loss before. So, you know, I don't see that scenario as well. But I'll tell you what, though, for those who follow us on Twitter, we're going to make our prediction. Obviously, it's a big week of college football. Michigan State's going to move the polls a little bit. You know, who knows about the next law? I mean, there could be an upset or two this weekend. We will post our top six on Tuesday afternoon and see how close we are to what the playoff committee thinks. And then we could discuss it again on Wednesday.
By this, I'm assuming all of us are predicting Michigan to win this game.
I'm predicting in.
So just by everybody's picks, right. It's looking like everybody's favoring Michigan.
Yeah, which brings us to our games of the week. And top game of the week is Michigan at Michigan State. Michigan, as of this morning, was a 4.5-point favorite over Sparty at East Lansing. I personally think this is going to be a really good game, a good contest. Now, Michigan State has one of the premier running backs in the nation. Michigan has one of the best defenses in the nation. Harbaugh hasn't pissed down his leg yet with his craziness. I see this game. You know, I personally am going to play Michigan State this weekend, a 4.5. I'm hoping to get it at 5 before Saturday. But I could see Michigan winning this game in a close one, coming down to a field goal at the end, and essentially eliminating. This is an elimination game for the playoff.
Yeah,
I mean, that's just what this is.
That's what it boils down to, sounds like.
Yeah, so I see Michigan State giving it a good fight, but ultimately too much. I think Michigan's defense is going to be too much for them, and the Wolverines will come out victorious. Rick, we got Baylor going to Texas. What do you think?
Game to watch this week is Baylor going to Texas. Baylor is a 3-point favorite as of right now.
In Austin?
It's actually in Waco. It's in Waco. My heart says take Texas. This is what my heart will always say Texas. My brain's telling me this is Baylor's opportunity to get into the Big 12 championship. I would take Baylor -3. And that fucking hurt me to say.
Texas is coming off a bye week, correct?
Texas is coming off a bye week. Bye weeks are tricky, man. Sometimes freaking teams come out rejuvenized, like, healthy as can be, and let's go. And sometimes they come back, and that first game is lazy. And, like, it takes a while for them to get going again. And I think Baylor is at that point where if they want to make a shot at a Big 12 title, this is the game they gotta get.
This is their statement game. Yes, I agree with you. But, gosh, Dane, there's something. There's the Jekyll and Hyde that is the University of Texas football.
Yes.
If they play like they did the first half against Oklahoma, against Baylor, they're going to win that game by 2 touchdowns. And
first half Texas, really
first
good.
First half Texas is great. You know, you play 30-minute games, motherfucker, you're going to win a lot of games. Unfortunately, it's that last 30 minutes of the game, it's a little rough for them. And I probably won't dabble. Or I will.
I would stay away from it.
Heart tells me to stay away from it. My brain says to stay away with it. My fingers, as they click on the app, are going to say play Texas Moneyline. So
very well possible.
Very well possible. But it's going to be a good game, and this could be our upset of the week. I mean, there's going to be an upset every week in college football before the end of the year, and this one could be it right there. But, you know, the other good – now moving on to the SEC, Coach Smith, we got Ole Miss going to Auburn. What do you think about that?
We have the number 10 Rebels going to number 18, the Auburn Tigers, War Eagle.
Now, let me stop you just for a second.
That makes no fucking sense.
How has Lane Kiffin become such an asshole to being loved into this country? I mean, that is the most remarkable turnaround. This is a bigger turnaround than Sark's doing at Texas right now. Is Lane Kiffin is an actual likable character, and that it just it shocks me.
I think part of it has to do with him being in the SEC. I mean, that's just my opinion on it. I think the SEC coaches kind of get a little bit more love because I feel like at Washington State, Mike Leach was kind of hated after the debacle at Texas Tech, and then now that he's at Mississippi State, they're kind of loved. But so going into that, Ole Miss at Auburn, two kind of interesting facts on this game. Auburn is on a 5-game win streak over Ole Miss. They've won the last 5, but the last time Ole Miss beat them in 2015 was at Auburn. Okay, so that's something to keep your eyes on. Personally, Okay, the Auburn Tigers are a 2.5 point favorite at home. The over-under is 66.5 points as of yesterday. But if I was a betting man, which I am not, I would take Ole Miss. I think Lane Kiffin's got something for the Tigers, and I think he's
going to
put it on them.
Oh, sorry. I think
Ole Miss beats Auburn in
asshole.
I'm on your side, Smith, and you'll see why later.
No, it should be a good game. And, again, I'm not happy with that pick, and I'll get into my reasons why later. Actually, these guys probably are geniuses, and I'll show you why later. But going into one last thing. Mike Leach is a national treasure.
I love Mike Leach.
And if I could spend the day with Mike Leach, I would.
I agree 100%.
That guy right there, his thoughts on everything from mascots fighting to candy corn. I mean, did you guys hear the candy corn thing?
He loves Spree's, baby.
He loves Spree's in the box.
I ate some at lunch today, and I love them too.
All right.
That dude's fucking...
And now let's go on to the NFL recap. So, Chiefs are finished. they're done. They have a not making the playoffs prop bet at plus 350 now, which is pretty significant, which pretty much means they're not going to make it. And you know what? I think it all goes back to Reed's son. I can't remember Brett Reed when he killed that kid right before the Super Bowl.
Oh, yes.
I think that tore up the team. I mean, that's just a distraction. I mean, they had a shitty Super Bowl, and the offseason's probably mirrored with controversy behind that. I'm sure there's a lot of, emotions going around the locker room. And then you have the notorious Super Bowl hangover. When the teams that lose the Super Bowl look awful, and the Chiefs have not looked good. They have not. There's not been one game you could go, there they go, the Chiefs are back. Our first episode of this, we talked about are the Chiefs need to worry about the Chiefs, and I think we all said no, not yet, but there could be some issues, and they obviously have some issues.
I think Mahomes is at that point to where his draft stock was. Turns the ball over too much. That was his thing at Texas Tech. He just turns the ball over. And Andy Reid did a really good job of making sure he didn't turn the ball over in his first, few years. And now he is, 9 interceptions in 7 games?
Yeah. And that's 10. A big thing.
I think 10. It's 10. I think I saw a statistic that since the beginning of the season, Patrick Mahomes has turned the ball over more times this year than Aaron Rodgers has, which I hate to say because I hate the Green Bay Packers. Than Aaron Rodgers has in the last 53 games. Yes.
With that also said, and not to turn the attention away from Kansas City, but the Packers, you think of Aaron Rodgers as a gunslinger. If you really look at the splits and the ratios, they've become a really big running team over the last 2.5 years. And a lot of that has to do with the fact they don't have receivers outside of Adams. And, they can't get, they just don't have threats there. But...
fuck the Packers.
Yeah, exactly. I don't even know why we're fucking talking about those assholes.
I had to bring up Aaron Rodgers.
No shit. God damn, Smith,
dickhead. all right, so guys, if you had Arizona and Cincinnati as your top seeds in each conference, you are a fucking liar.
I swear to God, I had them. I swear to God,
you did not have shit. You maybe had Arizona. You maybe had Arizona.
No, I didn't have either one.
No, but
Cincinnati, man, I feel like they're surprising a lot of people. You look at the talent, right, and immediately all eyes go to Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Because Joe Burrow, when he's sitting in the pocket and he has time to throw the football, which he's had lately, Cincinnati's kind of revamped that offensive line a little bit. They've got a little bit better. Joe Burrow looks like a top-tier quarterback throwing to someone like Jamar Chase.
Fuck Jamar Chase. He played my ass.
Jamar Chase has absolutely killed it this year in the NFL. Coming off of an offseason where the coaches kind of didn't like him. He was dropping a lot of balls in in camp.
Yeah, but, he said the fucking ball was bigger and he couldn't get the hang of it.
The exact same thing happened with Justin Jefferson last year, and look what happened with him. He's the best receiver in Minnesota.
Right.
Same thing happened with him. Cincinnati looks real.
Cincinnati looks really good. They had a big win last week against Buffalo.
In a tough conference.
In a tough conference. The AFC is it's you know what I like about this year's NFL is both sides of the conferences are going to be competitive. There's going to be a race for the number one seed. It looks like in the NFC, the AFC there's going to be a good playoff race. I mean, your Raiders. The Raiders are the number two seed in the AFC right now, and who would have thought that after, you know, racist Gruden starts, you know, throwing out emails and everything. You would think that team would have imploded. Maybe that's an addition by subtraction. Who knows? But I've lost the words.
I think – I don't know about addition by subtraction, just in my opinion, because – I'm not by any means saying that what John Gruden said was right, because I think we can all kind of agree that what he said was absolutely terrible. But that doesn't take away from the fact that he's a pretty good football coach.
He was
really He's a good Super Bowl winning football coach. He before he won his Super Bowl in Tampa Bay, he built up those Oakland Raiders that went to the Super Bowl the year after they left on a roster that he helped create.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. He's a good football coach. I think that he kind of laid a foundation for those guys to keep going, and he kind of built this roster. He was there for what? This is his third year, fourth year there in
right.
Vegas. He helped build these guys to what they are right now. Now, I'm not saying that him not being there is a negative or a positive. I'm just saying that he deserves a little bit of the credit for the success that the Raiders are seeing right now.
Yeah, he did. I mean, you're exactly right. I mean, I just want to take a shot at Gruden because I just felt like taking a shot at Gruden. Because
everybody's taking a shot at Gruden lately, apparently.
Yes. So, but
tell you who's not taking a shot at Gruden, Urban Meyer, because as soon as all the Gruden stuff happened, yeah, everybody forgot about old Urban Meyer.
Yeah, we forgot about Urban Meyer.
Everyone forgot
baby.
That Urban Meyer's a shitty coach, and you know, again, the true prop bet in the NFL is when is Urban Meyer going to have a headache and or one misses his family and he quits? Because he's not going to get fired.
That USC
quit.
Job is open.
Oh, man, his bitch has if he goes there. all right, so let's, you know, that's pretty much the recap of the week. I know we had some, you know, upsets along the way. Colts beat Baltimore, you know. So
that was 2 weeks ago.
No,
Cincinnati beat Baltimore this week.
They lost. Oh, no, Baltimore beat the Colts. They came back and beat the Colts, and then
that was 2 weeks ago. And then they had them.
But they're also
that was 3 weeks ago, fellas. That was on October the 11th when the Ravens beat the Colts. The Colts have played the Houston Texans and the San Francisco 49ers since then.
Well.
I'm just throwing that out there because later on I'm going to speak a lot about the Colts. So before
you know what?
Bro, I've been working 7 days a week. I don't even know what the day is.
Through the NFL recap, we're done with that.
Before we try to move on, I do want to pose this question because sometimes I feel like I'm really high on these guys, and sometimes I feel like they're a bottom-of-the-barrel squad like we saw last week. What on God's green earth is wrong with Baltimore? Granted, they're in a pretty good division. They're in a division with Cincinnati. They're in the division with Pittsburgh, who you can't count out. They have one of the best, and you can disagree with me if you want, one of the best coaches in the NFL in Pittsburgh. And Cleveland's still there, too. Now, I know Baker's hurt, but Case Keenum came out and played pretty well last week. They got a win. Baltimore's in a pretty rough division. If they play the way that they played last week, they're not going to go anywhere. And I had them in my top five power rankings a few weeks ago whenever he did that.
I told y'all from the get-go I was not sold on the Ravens.
Yeah.
Everybody was sold on Lamar Jackson and, you know, all he was doing. And he's not just a runner. He's a thrower. I still said, as a team, I'm not sold on the Ravens. I can't buy into them.
But
I just never know what you're going to get with them.
But what's the issue? Like, that's what I'm trying to figure out.
They pick
what is the issue with Baltimore?
I think part of the issue is, okay, Baltimore obviously had an issue with the running game, so now they're going to run him a little bit more. And also, he learned how to throw from the pocket. So teams are starting to heat him up. And when you start heating up teams, if you take away the run game, you start heating them up and force them to move in the pocket, you're going to get yourself in situations that, you know, what Cincinnati did was Cincinnati got a lead on. If you get a lead on Baltimore, you're almost guaranteed to win. They're not built to come from behind. If Baltimore.
Colts say otherwise.
Well, you know, Colts have their own issues.
Three weeks ago.
People don't forget. Which,
again, goddamn. So.
It felt like it was last Monday.
I know.
It was like two days ago.
2 days ago.
It was fucking 3 weeks ago. All right,
so off of that Baltimore question, which happened to kind of roll into the next segment a little bit, at least just for me, right, is our
good, bad, and ugly.
Our good, bad, and ugly.
Hey, Coach Smith, you're going to start us out NFL. With two.
So rolling off of what we kind of just talked about, my good right now is the Indianapolis Colts, okay? In the beginning of the season, they lost two hard-fought, tough games by single digits. Lost to the Rams by 3 at home. Went to Tennessee, lost by 9. We all know Tennessee's pretty good, okay? They beat the Dolphins. The Ravens come back in Baltimore and beat them. But now we have two in a row. I mean, obviously they beat the Texans. But then they beat the 49ers in San Francisco, okay? The Indianapolis Colts seem to be getting it together as of late. They're the middle of the pack of total defense, lower middle in passing, but they have a top 10 rushing offense, and they're continually getting better. So they're my good for the week. My bad for the week is anybody who likes offense and watched Monday Night Football. On Monday night, we had the Saints and the Seahawks. The Saints mustered up a total of 316 yards, far away from the days of Drew Brees and the high-powered Saints offense. They only managed 13 points. Now, Seattle, who granted is without Russell Wilson, had 257 total yards of offense, and they only managed 10 points. I think that casual fans or fans of betting the over hated this game.
Life's too short to bet the under.
But I also think that football fans who wish for the days of old kind of love this game, a field position game, a defensive game. If you're a fan of points and flash and yards and high-flying offense, this was the game for you. It was not the game for you.
I'll tell you who.
And it was a bad time
for you. You know someone who probably hated the game because the quarterback play was so bad? We know who that
Our,
is.
Yeah, boss yeah. man.
Boss man.
So my ugly... The New York Jets, man. So the New York Jets lost to 40 to the so-so New England Patriots. Not a whole lot to say here. I do think that Bill Belichick is going to take every opportunity that he can to embarrass people because he wants to prove that he can still get it done without Tom Brady and prove that he's not washed up. But damn, Jets, 40 points. That's ugly.
Very well. You know, Yeah, I agree with you, and I missed the opportunity. I wanted to take the Patriots minus 7. I was told to take the Patriots minus 7, but after I got my ass kicked me college football Saturday, I was a little gun shy on Sunday. But you're right, that shit was ugly.
It was ugly, coach.
My good was Cincinnati Bengals. We kind of touched base on them. Good for them. They went into Baltimore and dominated the Ravens. Joe Burrow is, you know, defense is playing good. Joe Burrow is living up to the hype. I thought they were fantastic. And you know, I've lived in the Ohio area for a while, and there's a lot of diehard Cincinnati fans, Bengal fans there. So it's good to see those guys kind of have some positive vibes going their way. You know, my bad was going to be the Kansas City Chiefs, but I'm going to count that out. You know why, Rick? Is because the Miami Dolphins cost us money this
they
weekend.
They fucking did, dude. God damn it.
So I'm following the game on my phone. And if you don't, we're going to pick them. We can pick them. And you can see how things are rolling. And Miami takes the lead. I look at the leaderboard.
Me and fucking Dollar are the right only there. Two motherfuckers that pick Miami.
So we're like, all right, there's like maybe, it wasn't much time. Like maybe 2 minutes. 2 minutes and some change. And they let fucking Matt Ryan
drive all the way down.
All the way down. Kick the field goal.
Matty Ice, baby. Matty Ice.
And if that doesn't happen, me and Rick are spending some money going to buy some, you know, stuff. Exactly. Oh, that was a weak one with the Smith. So that was my bad. And I can't pass up my weekly shot at the Chicago Bears. Matt Nagy, you're Halloween. You're going as an NFL football coach. Just stop it. Quit. Go back and pretend to be an offensive coordinator somewhere else. I'm sure Andy Reid will take you back. Whatever it is, just get out of Chicago. Now, the best news I heard this week, and this may sound harsh, he has COVID. He is staying away from the team. Now, I saw a tweet today. Here's how fucking stupid this guy is. He goes, he's not at House Hall. House Hall is where the Bears practice. He's not at House Hall. But he will not disclose his information to the media where he's at. Why? What are you trying to hide? You're a dumbass. You cannot coach NFL football as a head coach. You're a terrible offensive coordinator, and you are ruining my life every Sunday. I hope you're proud. I drink more because of you, Matt Nagy. You're ugly. Rick, what do you got?
Well, first of all, I don't know how to follow that up. Yeah, all that emotion tough. That came out of yeah. there. My good is the Las Vegas Raiders. 2-0 without since the firing of John Gruden. Being able to stay on track. Not let those distractions get in your way. Winning those two games, they are my good right now. They're very quietly. Remember, at first they were winning. Everybody was like, "Oh shit, Vegas is gonna be really good. The Raiders are gonna be really good." All this shit happened with Gruden, and then boom, the Raiders just like washed off the fucking planet Earth. But they're still fucking winning, and nobody's talking about them. And so I think I think they can use that to their advantage and just stay under the radar. They are my good for this week. My bad for this week was fucking week 7 in general. It just felt like fucking the whole NFL was fucking awful. Yeah. Kansas City gets fucking dick-nailed. Games are just fucking blown out. The Sunday night game.
The halftime score of Carolina and the Giants was 5-3.
Five to fucking on. Three. Like,
it's not
fucking
a soccer game.
Fucking awful. Soccer. Fucking the Sunday night game, Colts and 49ers. It's a fucking shit show. Raining like crazy over there.
The best pass play by the Colts was pass interference.
Yes. Yeah. Fucking awful. The Monday night game was fucking Seattle and New Orleans. No Russell Wilson. No fucking Drew Brees. It's Jameis Winston and Geno fucking Smith.
Not to mention there was a lot of good teams on bye this week.
Yes, you had the Chargers, the Cowboys, the Bills. A lot of good teams just on byes. If you play fantasy football, I feel sorry for you. Most of your team was probably
half of my team was on a bye this week, and I got demolished in both of my leagues this week.
Yeah, so which leads me into my ugly. My ugly was fucking Carolina's loss to the Giants. God. That by I couldn't even watch that game. It was fucking awful.
It was terrible.
Sam Darnold gets bitched for fucking who fucking knows what that guy's name is. Do you guys know off the top of your head?
No. You came in
there. I can't even name him. Got bitched for him, though.
Yeah.
Got bitched for him. Ron Rivera did come out and say that he is going to be the starter. I mean, not Matt Rhule. Matt Rhule came out and said that Sam Darnold's still going to be the starter going forward. It came out that they are not pursuing Deshaun Watson after all, mainly because of his 87 allegations going on right now. But how the fuck do you lose to the Giants? The fucking Giants. I mean,
pretty sure they were my ugly like last week or the week before. They're not good at football.
Yeah, fucking awful. And they fucking lose. Fucking Deontay Pettis. Whatever the fuck. The fucking guy that was from Washington fucking tore them up. Fucking tore them up. He played in San Francisco before this. You know how many touchdowns he caught in San Francisco? One fucking touchdown. It was fucking awful. But hey, I guess if you're a Giants fan, fuck. I don't know what else to tell you.
I don't know. You know, all you're doing, Giants fan, is allowing Joe Judge to be your head coach longer. So, good luck with that.
Yeah, good luck with that.
But you know what? I'm this close to saying, fuck fantasy football. I lost 156-67 this week.
God damn.
I didn't lose by 90, but I lost by 78.
And then I lost.
Pretty goddamn
then
close.
I lost to Aggie Boy, A&M Aggie Boy, which, God.
Ooh, that's
him,
worse.
You lose anything to him, you might as well just shoot yourself.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm glad I don't own guns.
Luckily, I listen to my own advice and pick up some of these guys and drop some of these guys.
Maybe that's what I got
to
do.
And maybe that's what you got to do is start listening to me. So I'm going to give you
what do you got this week?
Fantasy football stuff. My stardom, if you haven't figured it the fuck out, yeah, you fucking start Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts is becoming a tight end one, top tier tight end one. Almost, not there yet. Almost in that same caliber that George Kittle, Travis Kelce, he's getting the ball fucking thrown to him a lot. Matt Ryan literally almost has no one else to throw it to. So if you have Kyle Pitts, if you haven't figured it out yet, start him now. My sit of the week is not really for the week. It might be for the fucking year. Is Tyler Boyd.
Ooh.
Okay. Tyler Boyd had all this hype going into the season. AJ Green departed. It was going to be him, and it was going to be T. Higgins.
He's out of milk box. Missing.
He's gone. Missing. He is fucking gone. Ja'Marr Chase came in there and is fucking lighting it up. It's the ball's either being thrown to Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, or their fucking tight end, whose last name I cannot pronounce.
Or Joe Mixon.
Oh, yes, Joe Mixon in the backfield. But fucking Tyler Boyd, nowhere to be found no more. If you have him, get rid of him. Don't even sit him. Just get rid of him. Put him on the waiver wire, because I promise you, no one's going to fucking pick him up. My sleeper of the week. I misspelled sleeper on this page. I just saw that right now. But my sleeper of the week, Kenneth Gainwell, running back. Running back from fuck you, Smith. Smith's the one that fucking...
I changed his spelling of sleeper on the run sheet to slepper.
I knew I could fucking spell. I thought
that would be funny, and it was.
I knew my high school education would get me somewhere.
No, Rob Burgundy reads straight from the photo prop. Straight from
the thing. That's what I was hoping for.
So it's Kenneth Gainwell. Kenneth Gainwell is my sleeper of the week. Miles Sanders got hurt last week. It was like a high ankle sprain, apparently. Unsure if he's going to play or not. As of right now, Kenneth Gainwell is going to be the starter going forward, but at least for this week. All the fantasy football I had read up on prior to this had said Kenneth Gainwell is going to win you your league. He's going to be the guy that nobody picks up. If you draft him real late, keep him there and just keep him on your bench. Early on in the season, he was getting 2-3 points. As of lately, he's getting the ball a lot more. He's being heavily involved. This is his chance right now, this week. I believe they're going up against Detroit. This is his chance to break out with a 25-30-point fantasy football game and fucking win you your league. Get him now.
Get him, boys. Get him. The World Series has kicked off yesterday with the Atlanta Braves smacking the Houston Astros around 6-2. It was a great game if you're a Braves fan. Horrible game if you're an overbetter, like this dumbass right here. I mean, this almost made the bad beat of the week, guys. You have six runs after four innings. I need three. I get two. I lost. I digress. But you know who we needed to give two claps for? Bryce Smith.
Yes, sir. I called this World Series a few weeks ago. If you listened to the show, you heard me say that my choices to get to the World Series, Houston was a favorite out of the AL, I think, by multiple people. Nobody had the Braves, man, and I just had a feeling that it's the Braves' time, and they got hot at the right time. They didn't even have a winning record until the end of July, the beginning of August. They took over their division in August. They never looked back. They made the playoffs. They're making a run, and now they go win game one in Houston.
They're playing inspired ball right now. Like I said in my thing last time, that they lost Okuna, starting pitcher, within the same month.
Right.
And have fucking just took that and said, everybody ruled us out, chip on our shoulder, let's go.
They completely revamped the outfield after they lost. And
that's what I was going to say. The revamp of that, it was impressive, they didn't panic.
Yeah.
They signed four outfielders, coach.
They got Soler, they got Jock Peterson, which are not big name guys. And
solid baseball players.
And they put big, bits and pieces in there. I'm really impressed. And
they moneyballed it.
They moneyballed the shit they did. Out of this right here. And, why could he get on base?
Yeah, so my biggest issue, I guess, right now, because I did pick Atlanta to win the World Series, is the 2-3-2 format in the World Series. So if you get the home field advantage, you play two games at home, and then you run three on the road, and you get two games again at home in 6 and 7. I absolutely hate that format.
I mean, people say, well, if you win the games at home, like if you win the games you're supposed to at home, then you the home team wins every time, right? Like the if you have home field advantage, you should win.
You should, right.
Okay, let's just say that's true. I win my first two home games, and then I'm going to go on the road for three games. You're telling me after a three-game losing streak, I got to go and turn around in 2 days and win two games?
Well, it changes the complexion of the series, too.
If you go down three, momentum.
If you go down 3-2 and go into 6-7, there's a ton of pressure on you.
Yes.
My biggest issue with it, you do make a good point, Coach, but to the other side of that, if you're the team that has the home field advantage and you come to my place for three in a row, it's hard to beat people three times in a row.
Oh, yeah.
Now, granted, it happens a little bit more often in baseball than it does in other sports, but if you come to my house three times in a row, odds are you're going to win one of those games.
Yeah, at least one.
So now I'm going back to your place for two more games, down one. That's hard. Atlanta's lucky that they picked this game up, game one in Houston, because, man, it's hard to beat people three times in a row.
I agree. It's, I don't know. This morning, I checked out the series prices, and Houston was now a +140 favorite to take the series. So I jumped on that. Me and Mattress Mac are in the same boat, except if Houston wins, he's going to win $35 million. If I win, I'm going to win like $120. So,
Jesus.
Do you know about Mattress Mac?
Yes.
No, I have
no
idea.
He put a bet on the beginning of the year, right?
What Mattress Mac does is a Houston furniture sales guy. And what he does is...
He was big time in the Houston wrestling scene in the 70s and the 80s. Just throwing that out there.
Hey, random fact of the day. Good job, Smith. But what he does is, if the Astros win the World Series, all the furniture you buy is free. Up to like $3,000. So what he does to hedge his bet is he bets on the Astros to win the World Series as well. So back in the summer, I forget when he bet his bet, but they were 12-1. He put like $2 million on it, $2.7 million on it.
Holy!
If he wins this, the book that he got it from, and I don't know what casino, probably somewhere out of Vegas somewhere. He's going to win $35 million.
That's going to be the largest
sports payout
in American history, right?
Right. So he's going to win either way. Either he sells a shitload of furniture. And he's a really good guy.
You know him?
No, this stuff I hear about him.
I've heard.
I was like your friend.
I have heard people specifically speak of the guy, and apparently he's just a fantastic.
Remember the Houston had a huge flood from a hurricane a couple years back, 3 years back. He opened up all his stores for people to stay there in his furniture stores, give them shelter and stuff. So, so shout out to Mattress Mac because I know you listen to this shit.
Getting back to the actual baseball, like we said, Atlanta won game one, but they also lost Charlie Morton. Yeah. Took a liner off the leg, tried to keep throwing, broke his fibia.
It was like 112
miles an hour off of the leg, which that's rough. He's their ace. He's Atlanta's most consistent pitcher. I already thought that this was going to be a bullpen World Series, but even more so now that Atlanta's ace is done, I think it's going to be more of a bullpen series. And you even saw it with Houston. Their starter went, 2 1/3 last night?
Yeah.
And they pulled him. Now, he was getting lit up, and the bullpen came in and slowed down the attack of the Braves a little bit. But, man, even more so now with Charlie Morton gone for Atlanta – this is going to be a big-time bullpen series for both teams.
Well, the biggest issue is you're losing your game 5, 6, or 7 starter. And
I believe that Charlie Morton was penciled in for 5, I believe so.
So that's going to screw up your rotation. I'm sure I didn't see the news today. I'm sure they're going to bring up another guy for the playoff roster. Morton was cruising, and he probably would have won 5 or 6 innings last night. He only went about 3, so that affects your bullpen. I like Houston in this situation. I think Houston's going to bounce back tonight. First pitch is in about 8 minutes. I think Houston wins tonight.
As we speak. Not as this drops. As this drops, it'll probably be about
the game. Fifth, sixth. But, on the other hand, you know, it's one of those things. Yeah, I have a future bet on Houston for the series, but I wouldn't mind seeing Atlanta win the series.
So, going along with that, Nolan, I think that I kind of feel the same way as the rest of America.
That says, okay? Fuck Houston.
But as far as the fans are concerned, I think everybody that's watching this that's not from Houston or not a longtime Astros fan, like one of our really good friends that lives here, one of the coaches as well, and another guy that we associate with happen to be big-time Astros fans. I think everybody that's not those guys hates them. Now, back in the day, I know, Coach, you may not remember this, Coach Garrett, but I know that Nolan does for sure, and I only do through tidbits, but when the Braves were on TBS, they were America's team. Yep. They were America's baseball team.
Yes, they were.
And in this series, I think that that's truer than ever. I think America, I think America wants the Braves to win, and God damn it, so do I. Braves in seven.
Braves in seven, baby. I like it. Hopefully the Braves win.
Houston in six. But anyway.
God damn it,
though. I got to run. It should be a great series. Excited to see what game two has tonight.
Looking forward to it.
And that. So. Hey, Coach Smith. You have your CDL?
No, Coach, I don't. Don't you, though?
No, sir.
You know who does have their CDL, guys?
Who's that?
This guy. Attention CDL holders, looking to advance your career with an exciting and growing company? Look no further than Bach Trucking LLC, winner of the TT Trophy for the best freight delivery in the Western region. Our home terminals are in Heron, Illinois, O'Fallon, Illinois, and Altus, Oklahoma. Are looking forward to providing you and all your need to succeed. Our lead recruiter, Brian Juvers, is standing by to get you behind the wheel. Reach him at Bach Transport @outlook.com. Bot Transport. We better move then.
Must have clean driving record and 1 year CDL experience.
All right. That carries us to our next segment, the most popular one. Let's go. As I was saying, let's go. All right. It doesn't matter.
Give me my money.
That's right. It's that time again for sports investments. Hey, this segment is brought to you by Bach Trucking Company. Thank you, Rick, for that read.
I know that guy. Fucking personally, dude. I'd fucking work for him. He's a great fucking guy.
If we weren't coaches, I'm pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure I'd work for him.
If we could get our CDLs, I'd be driving for this.
Yeah, Rick drives. Hell, he drove a bus this week.
I did. God damn it.
All right. So let's recap the picks this week. Nolan. Oh, that's me. You lost people money this week by going 1-2 with your lock of the week. Dying miserably, and we'll go over that here in a second. That brings me back to a total of 10-4-1, still making some coin, but not as much coin as this guy over here, the CDL holder, Ricky Fire. That's his new name.
That's gonna be my name, baby. All I do is win, fellas. Clean sweep I swept last week in my college football, making me this year 7-2. Seven wins and only two losses.
Now, if you combine our two records together, it's 17-6-1, and that could buy you a couple cases of beer down the road if you want.
That's a pretty good record, fellas. I'm listening to you guys if I want to bet some money.
So, now the NFL, you know what that was, Rick, for the two of us?
Clean sweeps, baby.
Yeah, here we go.
We got those brooms.
5-0, because we both had the Colts pick. So, I went 3-0, Rick went 3-0. We both had the Colts covering. And our picks. That moves Rick to 6-3 in the NFL. And I'll tell you what, boys, if you can win in the NFL, you know your shit. And Ricky Fire knows his shit.
I will say this, boys, y'all are 12-9 combined in the NFL. And a bright man once told me 58% betting wins you money.
All I know is Nolan just made up the Ricky Fire fucking name right now, and I love it too.
Ricky Fire. Now, you know who's not on fire? Me in the lock of the week. Oh. Or should we call it the fade of the week, as I get chastised every week in the office, coach's office. And you know what? I deserve it. We moved to 1-3 in our coach of lock of the week. I had Northwestern plus 24. Now, I told myself Northwestern needs 10 points to cover this game. And we got it was like a 10-7 game at halftime. I'm like, all right, I feel pretty good. Get in our field goal from Northwestern, maybe a touchdown. We're going to be golden. No, Michigan goes on a barrage, 33-7. We're at 26 points. They get the ball back with 4 minutes to go. You know what Northwestern does? They start running the ball.
They run the ball to get out of this.
They
run the
ball. They quit.
Hey, you think that you're going to go no huddle, run the ball quickly? No. They did what, Smith?
They quit.
They quit. There's nothing I more hate more in this world than a team that quits. I hate them even more when I have you at plus 24. Dickheads. All right. So, our bad beat of the week. Now, I did not personally have this, but if you had the Bears, Buccaneers over 47 points, I feel bad for you. 35-3 at halftime. 35-3. How many points is that, Smith?
Oh, 35-3 is a 32-point game.
Or is 38?
What?
That's what I meant
to say. 38
Oh, I thought you meant the differential.
No, no. It's 38 points.
Hey, don't mind me.
Don't mind him, fellas. He's just a little drunk right now. No, but yeah, 38 points. So all you need, you think the Bears are going to score at least a touchdown, but you
trash minutes something.
Trash minutes, but that's a Nagy factor. Nagy doesn't know how to score. But the real issue was the Bears had two goal line stands in the third and fourth quarter. That any of those score, the game's going to go over, and then you're going to have actually, what happened was there a field goal in the fourth quarter. If any of those two touchdowns scored in there, then they're good to go. So, but bad beat of the week. Also, the bad beat of the week was the baseball thing. I already talked about this. So,
this is going to be a new thing that we're going to do. We've actually been talking about this. And it's been on our run sheet for 6 weeks. We haven't been able to do it, but this week it is finally time. Nolan likes to say this is why you shouldn't drink and bet. I like to call it Ed's drunk pick of the week. Ricky, let's get him on the phone.
We're going to go ahead and call him. We're going to live call him.
This live call.
Live call him. So here we go. Hopefully this dude picks up. Hey, can you hear us?
Yeah.
All right, we are on for Ed's drunk pick of the week. Ed, what do you got for us today?
Shit, Ed's drunk pick of the week. I've been waiting.
You don't want to hear Ed's drunk pick of the week. This guy gets weird on Wednesdays and loses a ton of money. You don't want to hear that. Let's go to our top three college football games. Coach Nolan, who do you have?
You know what? Actually, I'm going to defer to Ricky Fire over here, and I'll let him go first today. Ricky Fire, what do you like in college football as of today?
I'm still not.
Rick, about the Georgia and Florida game? You have that on your run sheet.
Yeah, I got Georgia minus 14 at Florida. Florida started off real hot, played Bama tough. Early on, usually it's you going to the swamp. You're not going to dominate like you have been. Not this week. I think freaking Georgia goes in there and keeps doing Georgia things and just blows them out of the water. I would like it more if it was like at 13.5. But, you know, at 14, I still like it. I think they're going to win by roughly, I think, about 17 points. I think 17 to 20 points. My next pick, Nolan hates. It's actually Nolan's lock/fade of the week. To do what you want with that. Nolan, what do you have for that?
Hey, my lock of the week this week is going to be Auburn minus 2.5 versus Ole Miss at home. This all comes down to, I just think Bo Nix at home is going to be, it's going to be better than Corral. All right? It's going to be better Corral. I think Auburn has a slightly better defense. I think Auburn is going to have a lot more to play for in terms of placement in the SEC. So, Auburn minus 2.5 is one of my top three plays in the lock of the week.
Or you can call it the fade of the week if you want to go against me, like in craps, but go ahead.
So, that's not Nolan's lock of the week. Okay. Mine is Ole Miss plus 2.5.
I agree with you, Ole Miss, Coach Guerra.
They score, guys. They do. They score a lot of points. Matt Corral, Lane Kiffin over there, they got something rolling over there. I personally think they go and win this game on the road. I think they're still in contention, not for maybe a college football playoff spot, but at least for that SEC title maybe. I think Ole Miss goes in to Auburn, and I think they win that game. Take Ole Miss plus 2.5. My last game is Notre Dame minus 3.5. They're at home against North Carolina. Notre Dame, has that one loss. It was against Cincinnati. Is it one or two losses they have on this
one
season?
One loss, right?
Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Kind of fell a little bit, but they're still up there. It's still Notre Dame, guys. They always typically do well on games that are like doesn't have as much meaning to them. They usually steamroll those games, and the games that do have meaning to them, they shit the bed. This game has like no meaning to them. It's North Carolina. North Carolina's not ranked. They're just like, whatever about it. I think they're 3.5 favorites at home. I think it goes over. I think they win by about, if I had to guess, I'd say about between 12 to 15 points. 12 to 15 point win there for them.
Very well. You know what? I'm going to jump on two of those three games right there. Actually, I'm going to play all three games. I'm just going to play the opposite of the one. My other two games I really like this week are the BYU Flying Mormons going against at home against Virginia. I don't think much of Virginia. I've seen them play a couple times. They don't impress me all too much. BYU's kind of stumbled since the Baylor game. Came back last week and beat a decent Washington State team. They're 5-0 against the Pac-12. So... I know the ACC coming over, but they're going to play at 9:15 at night, which is 10:15 Virginia time. You're going cross country. It's going to, that's just a lot to put on kids right there. So I like BYU minus 2.5. And then my third play of the week is going to be Spartina of Michigan State. All right, the Spartinas are catching 4.5 points as of today, and I put that bet in today with my guys. So I'm locked in on that. If that gets up to 5, I may play that as well. But I really like Michigan State in the spot here. I don't think they're going to win the game outright, but I do think they're going to cover. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I think the under 51 points is a pretty good play as well. But ultimately, I think I love home dogs, and this is a home dog that I think will come home on Saturday. So I'm going to move on to the NFL. And again, me and Ricky Fire are going opposite against each other. And let's start off with Monday Night Football in Dallas. Go ahead, Rick.
It's actually going to be the Sunday night game.
It is Sunday night
It's
game.
In Minnesota. Not in Dallas. I really wish it was in Dallas. That would have been badass. But it's in Minnesota.
It's good for my Vikings.
Smith's favorite team Minnesota. Over there in Minnesota. I don't know why. Not even from Minnesota. Not even nowhere near Minnesota. I guess West Texas gets cold from time to time, even though you say it doesn't. Anyway, I like Dallas minus 2.5. Main reason why I like this, I do. I'm going to get booed for that, whatever. I'm a big Dallas Cowboy fan, right? I actually just bought tickets to the game right after Christmas. But I'm a big Dallas Cowboy fan. Not why I'm picking them. Why I'm picking them, they are 6-0 against the spread this year, fellas. Why not roll with the team that's hot? That is one of my picks. Nolan went against that. Nolan thinks Minnesota's going to cover.
I like Minnesota's situation. Minnesota is 33-8-6. Or, I'm sorry, teams, home dogs coming off bye weeks are 33-6-2 is the stat that I read on there. Now, the only thing that does concern me is Dallas is also coming off a bye week. But I love my home dogs, and it's hard to play in Minnesota with that stupid horn and all that. And
skull, baby.
Skull, it's that. So, I have not yet put this game in yet. I think Minnesota's a live dog in this situation. I think they could win at home. I'm going to hold off and play. I'm going to play this game regardless, but I'm going to hold off and see if I can get three off this and play plus three. And then I'm also going to play Minnesota on the money line on Sunday. So my other pick this week is going to be the Colts plus 1.5 against Tennessee. Now, Colts at home. Quinn Nelson's back. Carson Wentz doesn't look like an idiot out there. And Frank Wright actually has his team going the right direction. Coach Smith has talked about that. How the Colts are getting it together. It's a revenge game for the Colts as they lost by 9 to Tennessee earlier in the year. And so, yeah, I like the Colts in this situation. Again, another home dog. Tennessee's just run a gauntlet. They played 2 tough games in a row. Kansas City, they just destroyed. I can see them, you know, coming back in a letdown spot against the Colts. And then my third game is... And self-admittedly, this is not the strongest play, but I'm playing against Washington more than I'm playing Denver. I think Denver was embarrassed against Cleveland, guys. And I think when you get embarrassed and then you come back on a short week or a long week, it's not a bye week, but you get a couple extra games for the Thursday night game. It gives you more time to reflect, gives you more time to get ready. I think they take on a bad Washington team. I think Washington's gaining some respect that they don't deserve how they played against Green Bay in the red zone 3 or 4 times, came away with like no points or 3 points. So going into the Mile High City, it's going to be tough. I like Denver -2.5. What do you like for the rest of the week, Rick?
I actually really thought about that Denver game. Yeah. I really did. I like that pick as well. My next two, I took 2 underdogs. So I have Jacksonville +3 at Seattle.
Jacksonville.
Yes, the Urban Meyer dancing Jacksonville Jaguars. I think Seattle ends up winning this game late. If that line drops anything below 3, I don't think I'd play it as much. No. But at 3 or anything higher than that, I really like that. Just Seattle, man. I mean, we saw them Monday night, and it was by far, I think, the worst.
We saw why Geno Smith is not a starter.
Yeah, like, we realized that without Russell Wilson, Seattle's irrelevant. Like, they are awful. Russell Wilson makes that team, and with him still on IR, I mean, it's gonna be ugly either way. I like Jacksonville +3. Why wouldn't you go with me? I went 3-0 last week. Hey. My last pick for this, and I think these guys are going to win.
Live dog time.
Their first NFL game this year. I like Detroit +3.5 at Philly.
I like that play a lot. I think I'm going to do myself a little money line parlay between Detroit, Jacksonville, and Denver.
Yeah. Jared Goff is Jared Goff. But, you know, he's awful, but he's not like as bad, I think, as everybody makes him sound. Philly's still trying to find their groove too. They have a new head coach. Jalen Hurts has moments where he freaking looks elite, and then he has moments where you're like, damn, that guy was just a really good college quarterback.
He's only started, a handful of games in the NFL. He's still kind of
He's still iffy. Now, I did mention Kenneth Gainwell is going to get their start for them this week because of Miles Sanders' ankle injury. Right. Who knows how that plays out? That's why he was on my sleeper. It wasn't a for sure start. It could go one of two ways there. Their defense is just not very good. I said I like that pick. I like more the money line, man. I really and truly feel like this is the week the Dan Campbell crying interview.
The crying Dan Campbell. Win the first NFL game. Give him the game ball, and you celebrate in Detroit.
You celebrate in Detroit. Yeah, the game is in Detroit. I know we joked around earlier. We had this running joke between us coaches where we call each other and then we hang up on them right when they start to speak. But we really do have an edge drunk pick of the week. We are going to get him on the phone now so he can make that pick.
Let's get him on the phone. All right, here we go. And we will not hang up on him this time, Ed.
Hello? Hello?
All right, can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes.
All right.
Second time around.
All right, you are now on. Coach, you are on for Ed's Drunk Pick of the Week. Who do you got?
Ed's Drunk Pick of the Week! Bam, bam, bam! Fucking 8 weeks later.
Hey, better late than never is what they say.
All right, Coach, who do you got as your drunk pick of the week?
3 a.m., you're hammered.
I have $250. Two locks, actually.
Two? Oh,
two
God
locks,
dang.
And I guarantee you they're better than Nolan's fucking locks.
Yeah. What is it?
Pittsburgh, minus -9. Oh. What? That's Smith. I've been high on Pittsburgh for a while now.
Kenny Pickett.
What?
Kenny Pickett, baby.
Yes, Kenny Pickett, fucking quarterback, fucking pretty. I don't want to say best in the nation, but pretty goddamn close. They're underrated, even though they're still ranked. They're fucking underrated. They're hot right now.
All right, who's your second one?
Pittsburgh minus -9.
We get it. You like Pittsburgh. Move on.
Shut up, Nolan. Piece of shit. My other pick of the week. Wake Forest, minus -17.
God dang, that's a high spread for a Wake Forest team.
It is a high spread, but Duke fucking sucks, dude. Every now and then, they'll show flashes, but flashes enough to at least stay in the spread.
They're so playing
Wake
Duke?
Wake Forest about to beat the living dog shit out of Duke. Predicted score. Count it.
Who are they playing?
56-14.
56-14.
Wake Forest.
Boy, you're really calling a shot here.
All right, so in closing, you guys, I just want to, first of all, I want to thank you guys. This is the funnest part of my week. I think it's the funnest part of your week other than, you know, whenever we're doing our thing on Fridays, I guess. This is definitely the best part, but really, we appreciate all the feedback from you guys, man. I know I say it every week, but it really helps us to get better, man. All the stuff that you say to us, it helps us to better our show, to better ourselves. If you like our show, follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, share our stuff, tweet it out, tell a family member, tell a friend, tell an enemy. The more you guys listen, the more we're going to be able to do for you in the future. We couldn't do it without you. I say this all the time, but the listener makes the podcast, not us. We put a lot of work into this, but all the work doesn't mean anything without you guys listening and supporting the show. So one more quick shout out to Bach Trucking. Thank you for the plug. Those guys really know what they're doing up there, man. So if you do have a CDL and you're looking, Bach Trucking is definitely the place to go. Again, you can contact them at bachtransport@outlook.com. So again, thank you all, and we'll see you next week.
Later, fellas.
Professional shit there. I love it.